Welcome back here on Can't Wait, where we continue with the last three teams in our 2015-16 NBA preview extravaganza. How do you feel about the Toronto Raptors this year, Matt Milner? It was not a good end of the year last year.
No, it was not. But I like the moves that they made. I liked bringing in Damari Carroll. I think that he adds a dimension that this team was lacking in terms of his defensive intensity. Is, you know, somebody who I think will bring a little bit more grit. But mostly, I like skinny Kyle Lowry.
He's best shape of his life. Mm-hmm. He's the winner of the offseason Best Shape of His Life Award.
Congratulations to Kyle Lowry. I'd love to go back over the years and sort of track, like, do, you know, your Google search for Best Shape of His Life NBA.
Lost 15 pounds.
Yeah, and see what the correlation is to actual success on the court. Probably, you know, more often than not, it's a smoke
worthless.
Screen.
And they gained that weight at some point. You know, what they did was they cut carbs or something.
Right.
They stopped eating like garbage. And then they get back on the road and they start eating like garbage again.
Yeah. But you know what? Listen.
It's a good ball player.
Put whatever stock you want to into preseason. Here are the three games that the Raptors have played so far. Okay. First game against the Clippers. 22 minutes for Kyle Lowry. 26 points on 7 for 10. Next game against the Lakers. 25 points in 25 minutes on 8 for 13. Next game against the Timberwolves, 40 points, 28 minutes, 13 for 18. So it's not just that he, you know, his body looks better. I mean, he is performing at an extremely high level. And again, all the caveats you want about preseason, but I think that he is the single most important difference maker that they have, because if Kyle Lowry all of a sudden goes from being, you know, maybe the fourth best point guard in the East to being in the conversation for being up there with John Wall, up there with Kyrie, you know, producing those kinds of numbers, then the ceiling on this team goes up considerably. So, you know, I really hope, just for the sake of an interesting Eastern Conference, that this sort of transformed body is something that really does result in a meaningful uptick in production.
But the winner is Kyle Lowry's time. What we know about this guy, if you've ever had him on a fantasy team or you ever had to root for him, December he's great, November he's great, January he's pretty good. Remember last year the Toronto's hashtag NBA, oh, it was the hashtag All NBA or like the whatever All-Star starter.
All-Stars, yeah, exactly.
Because he ended up starting the All-Star game.
Yeah.
And after that, he was just not as good.
Yeah.
He completely ran out of gas, and that's why he's now come into shape, because he knows exactly what happened.
Yeah.
But it's that
he was a fat guy playing point guard.
I don't know if you remember how they started the year last year. They were neck and neck with the Hawks.
Mm-hmm.
They were red hot out of the gate.
Yeah.
And they played down the stretch pretty miserably.
Mm-hmm.
It was them and the Wizards both limping down the stretch to that 4-5 series nobody wanted to watch.
Yeah.
And then they got blasted by the Wizards. I mean, that was not a competitive series.
No.
And they did not look good the year before in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. This is a team that just does not close well.
Yeah.
So I think even if they start, because I think they start the season well, and I think they're going to be in that mix for that two seed with Miami, Washington, Chicago, and all the other teams we talked about. They're right in there.
Yeah.
Are they there just in November and December, or does it matter when the games get a little more tense? And I think that if Lowry's in shape and if this Carroll signing makes the difference we think it will,
mm-hmm.
I like him there. I think what's going to end up being the key for them this season, does Jonas Valanciunas play fourth quarters?
Mm.
This is a good center, and they've made a pretty decent financial commitment to him.
Yeah.
I don't think their coach likes him.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Well, you know, you just look at his production, and he has he's developed in exactly the way that you want a young big man to develop. I mean, last year, he was a 12-9 guy, basically. Mm-hmm. He was very efficient, PER over 20.
He's great at the hoop, and he's great at the line.
Yeah, and he's somebody who is a decent rim protector, too. You can't really get him in the pick and roll out on the perimeter.
Yeah, he doesn't guard in space.
Right. But, you know, they've got some other guys. I mean, that's one of the areas where maybe the Carroll signing is helpful, mm-hmm. Is that you've got some more guys on the roster who can help to paper over that, who are better pick and roll defenders and can switch and do other things.
There's a lot of flexibility here that they didn't have the year before.
Yeah.
They lose Amir Johnson, which is a rough one.
That's a tough loss because basically you're now, you know, you're relying on the power forward spot at playing Damari Carroll out of position. Which I'm not crazy about because I just think he's going to get beaten up and it takes away.
And he's never really done that.
No. And even on a team like the Hawks that like to play with funky lineups, they didn't really do that.
But they always had Millsap and Horford out there.
Right. It's true. Luis Scola, the ageless wonder they bring in, he will do exactly what he's done forever.
Turnstile defensively.
Right.
you really have a rough time if it's him and Valanciunas out there. Teams will just run pick and roll all day long.
Yeah. And then, you know, still relying on Patrick Patterson, who...
Nice shooter.
Yeah.
He's a better shooter than you think at that four spot. He plays hard, but he's a little undersized and just has some limitations.
Yeah. So there's not one guy on this roster who really looks like they are going to be cemented in as the crunch time four that you can count on.
It's a committee situation. It's team by team, situational, who's on the floor, who's on your floor. I think they might even try to play Biyombo there to like kind of mask over Valanciunas and go with these like monster defensive lineups at times. And I feel like Biyombo is going to play way more than you think just because he feels like a Dwayne Casey guy.
Mm. Yeah.
I think Casey's going to love his defensive intensity and how he is so bad offensively and he just never will get better. I don't see that, but I kind of like him as the backup here.
Yeah. I'm totally comfortable and fine with that. I maybe would have liked for them to be able to, bring in someone else who can give them a little bit of a different look, you know, offensively as well. But you know, Valanciunas is going to be, you know, playing 32 to 35 minutes most nights. So, you know, realistically, you don't want to invest too much in your backup center.
You want to try to a sneaky bargain.
Yeah. And Biyombo, I think, fits that to a T.
There's no reason he still shouldn't be in Charlotte.
Yeah.
They got rid of him to bring in like four of the same guy who do nothing that Biyombo does.
Right.
But, it's a lot of people don't watch a lot of Raptors. You know, the Toronto's crazy about him.
Yeah.
They're nuts about him. Mm-hmm. Drake loves him. But,
all about him.
If you've ever gotten a chance to watch these guys, James Johnson is the strangest player. I mean, he went to high school in Cheyenne, Wyoming for a couple of years.
Oh, okay. I was wondering what your James Johnson connection was.
Yeah, so okay. So when my...
Other than great neck tattoo.
Absolutely. Yeah. All-timer.
Yeah.
but my the best man of my wedding was living in Cheyenne at the time when James Johnson... Because he was... his dad's a military dad. He, he was in a military family who moved around all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And so he just terrorized Cheyenne, Wyoming hoops for a couple years.
Yeah.
Went and played at Georgia Tech and then in the NBA. And now he's this like, he's a tweener, but a good tweener for the modern NBA. And he just flies all over the floor. There's no rhyme or reason to what he does. And sometimes it works out. And a lot of the times it doesn't. But he's an agent of chaos. I feel like he can kind of do the Amir Johnson stuff.
Sure.
If you can just get him to focus just a little bit more.
And... You know, I really like the idea against certain teams and in certain situations of, you know, taking advantage of putting out a bunch of crazy guys.
Yeah.
High energy, high motor. Kyle Lowry, Carroll, James Johnson, you know.
It's just nuts. You don't know how to game plan it.
Yeah.
For or against.
Yeah. Yeah. And
anything can happen.
Anything can happen. But yeah, they've got different looks that they can bring. And we haven't mentioned Anthony Bennett, but this is sort of his last chance.
Back home, comfortable, hopefully.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm not optimistic, but I always like having guys that are playing for their professional lives.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And especially if he's comfortable again in Canada and he has like a support system and he can kind of screw his head on straight. There's a lot of weird pieces here. Are you a DeMar DeRozan guy?
I think that DeMar DeRozan is...
Because he's divisive.
He's somebody, though, who... His status as a good shooting guard in today's NBA has as much to do with the fact that that's the weakest position in the league.
No question.
As anything else. Because, you know, you look at what he's done in his, you know, 6 years now, and he's a guy who's, got limited range, You know, it's hard to identify. Look, what's the one thing that he does extremely well? I mean, he gets the line pretty well. He works. Yeah.
He's a worker.
And, you know, he's not a great defender, but he's not bad. And it's kind of shocking that he's been a 20-point scorer the last 2 years, given, you know, what his skill level is. But I think it's a product of the fact that he's somebody who works to get to the rim, is able to score at the line, and... You know, should he be? Is he one of the 10 best shooting guards in the league? Yes, absolutely.
Probably one of the five.
Yeah, probably.
But what's that get you?
Right. Exactly. That's the thing. I mean, his value, I think, is somewhat overstated just by the scarcity at the position. He's still not someone that I necessarily want to be relying on in crunch time minutes. But, you know, he's a 26-year-old who's coming off 2 20-point scoring years in a row.
28% from three last year.
Not so good.
That's a rough one.
Yeah, and that's actually above his career average.
It's tough.
Yeah.
He doesn't space the floor for you,
mm-mm.
But he's not getting 20 points by accident.
Right, yeah.
He's up for a contract. This is a contract year for DeMar DeRozan, and he's probably the fourth most prominent free agent entering an all-time cap bonanza.
I mean, he might even be arguably the second in terms of, you look at, who's in the prime of their career.
Yeah.
Because after Durant, I mean, who are the other guys who are going to be free agents who are in their mid-20s? The other big names are a little bit older.
Yeah, and like Mike Conley's not going anywhere, probably.
Right,
you know,
yeah.
A lot of the guys that are, you figure will stay.
Right, he's a free agent in the way that Marc Gasol was a free agent last year.
So, but DeRozan will be on the market. Yeah. I don't think Masai Ujiri is tied to him. He's not tied to any of these guys.
No.
Anybody can be traded anytime if Masai Ujiri is the GM.
Yeah.
I think somebody maxes him.
Oh, no question.
And who's that going to be? And I think he knows that. And I think that plays to their advantage this year.
Yeah.
Do you see 50 wins?
Well, you know, I think the East is better this year. I think that it's harder to feast on the bottom of...
Because they won 49.
Yeah.
So are they better than last year? I think it's about the same, but... I think they're better in meaningful ways for the postseason.
Yeah, I do agree. I mean, again, I think that if Kyle Lowry gives them a full season of high-level play...
He's so good when he's on.
Then that's good for an extra two or three wins in and of itself.
Mm-hmm.
You look for more development out of Valanciunas. That's good for another win or two. I mean, you can see how you get to low 50s.
But is that what Masai wants?
Well, I it's hard to tell.
Yeah,
but I will say that I think that this team, despite the fact that I like the additions that they made, and I think they made some smart moves, I still think that all things considered, this is a 48-49 win team.
About the same.
But I do agree with you that I like them more in a playoff series if they're healthy than I did last year.
I think they're also one of the most fun blowout teams. Like if they're either up or down by 30 either way and they get to throw out those Brazilian kids who may be 17.
Right.
God, that's a fun D-League style squad that they can put out there.
Yeah, and you know, our friend Bruno had a negative PER last year, which is
awesome.
not so good. You got to love the fact that we've talked about over the course of this preview that there are certain NBA teams that have a uniqueness to them.
Mm-hmm.
And the Raptors, both on the court, but also in terms of this whole like We the North identity that they've adopted and a really passionate fan base.
The hottest rapper in the game because they're global ambassador.
Right. The Raptors are fun. They're different. And I, you know, I like that. They at least have an identity.
I could have seen them getting in on that Meek Mill diss track if that happened during the NBA season. Like, I could have seen Drake incorporating in some elaborate Meek Mill diss, like pregame, where DeRozan, because DeRozan can do a little something on the mic.
Oh,
he's from Compton. You know,
he
knows a little something.
Yeah.
But on the basketball floor, Corey Joseph is a nice addition.
Uh-huh.
I'm a DeLon Wright guy. I like that as a developmental project.
Yeah, I agree.
Combo guard.
Uh-huh.
So ultimately, I like where they're headed. I like them a lot more than I liked them 6 months ago.
Yeah, and I think that they are, you know, right there in the mix for, you know, getting that four seed.
Yeah.
And, you know...
There's not a lot that has to break their way for them to get the two.
And I like them more than a team we're going to talk about in a few minutes as well, in the Wizards.
Yes.
But we'll get to that.
We got the Utah Jazz right now, and this is, like, the NBA nerd, like the high-minded intelligentsia.
Yeah.
Everybody thinks this is the 8 seed.
Yeah.
But, man, they have to make quite a leap from where they were last year to get there. I mean, they won 38,
mm-hmm.
and Rudy Gobert emerged down the stretch as a Defensive Player of the Year candidate.
Yeah.
Did they do enough in the offseason to go from fun, writing fodder to an actual playoff team?
Well, you know, if you look at this year's team versus the team that ended last year, the biggest difference is just that they've lost Dante Exum for the season.
It's devastating. That's the injury that bums me out the most, because he had the highest upside, and this was such an important year in his development curve.
Yeah,
because this would only be his second year against actual ball players. I mean, he didn't play against anybody in Australia.
Yeah.
And he showed enough flashes last year, especially defensively, to get really excited.
Yeah.
And for him to miss this whole year, God, what a bummer.
Yeah. And you know, they didn't really do anything. It was kind of too late in the offseason to do anything meaningful to replace him.
And nor would you really want to.
Yeah.
I mean, I would have liked them to get like a Corey Joseph, like we just talked about with the Raptors. If they could have gotten Corey Joseph as like a placeholder guy, and then he could also slide into that backup role for when Exum's ready to go, then we got something. But I like everything on this team outside of Trey Burke. I don't think Trey Burke's a player. I just don't. I mean, when you can't finish at the rim and you can't shoot threes and you're undersized and you can't guard, I mean, what's left?
What's your game?
I mean, you're great at Michigan.
Yeah.
There's no shame in being one of the most memorable college players of your era. Just not an NBA guy yet. I mean, I don't see where he improves so dramatically that he should be the starter.
He also did not show any meaningful improvement from his rookie to his sophomore season.
Same guy.
Yeah, like his numbers were similar. His, you know, the style of play was similar. And as someone who, you know, maybe if Exum was going to be able to start this year and you were looking at 20 minutes of Trey Burke as a change of pace, then you can see some role for him. But when he's going to have to be the guy playing 30 minutes a night, that's a big weakness in a Western Conference where there are so many
good
point guards.
I mean, what's Russell? I mean, this is the game where Russell Westbrook goes for 40, 15, and 10.
Right. Right.
But I think the way that they're going to end up attacking the season, I think Trey Burke still just plays that change of pace, but as a starter. They're going to start, I think Raul Neto ends up getting a lot of minutes for these guys, and Alec Burks and Gordon Hayward are the lead ball handlers. They need somebody who can handle themselves, can stand up defensively, can make a few plays while Hayward and Burks do the majority of the dribbling. Gordon Hayward was good last year.
He was really good last year. He was good last year.
I think a lot of people thought that contract that he signed the year before might have been, because what was it, Charlotte, that like put the full court press trying to get Gordon Hayward?
Yes.
Utah matched. And it looked like, because he took a big step back, like his three-point percentage went down to like 30. And they asked him to do too much.
Yeah.
They cast him as this like lead guy and doing more of a Paul George, Kawhi Leonard offensive thing. What did he end up at? He was 19-5-4 with a PER of 20.
Yeah.
And that's good enough for your starting small forward to be a really competitive team.
And you mentioned before that you expect him to do a lot of the ball handling, and he's up to that task. I mean, he is somebody who is a natural distributor and can play some point forward.
We brought up Lowry in the best shape of his life. The runner-up is Gordon Hayward. Have you seen him?
No.
He is huge now.
Really?
He's all muscle now. Huh. You worry that it might take away from his quickness a little bit, but it hasn't.
Huh.
He is able to finish at the rim stuff he didn't used to be able to do.
Right.
He is so thick in the shoulders now. I think he's really committed to being this go-to guy for them.
Yeah. And they need it. They need somebody on the roster to be that guy. And
because they have a lot of nice fill-in-the-blank. Like, Derek Favors is a terrific fill-the-blanks kind of player. He was very good last year. I mean, a lot of the talk was Gobert just coming out of nowhere,
right?
But I think Derek Favors kind of slid under the radar, being quite good in a way that there's not a lot of power forwards like Favors anymore. There used to be a lot of them, but he's kind of David Westian a little bit. And you're not going to get him shooting threes. I just don't think that jumper ever stretches that far.
No.
But I think he's so good at so many other things, and he's so strong. And that defensive wall that Favors Gobert can put up. I mean, I don't off the top of my head, I can't think of a more formidable defensive 4-5.
Yeah. Well, if Ashik is good again than Ashik and Davis,
yeah,
I guess.
But that guy sucks.
Yeah. No, I agree. And I think that Gobert is for real. I don't think, you know, the skills that he flashed at the end of last year.
Well, he's not going to get smaller than 7'2".
Right. His arms aren't going to shrink. Yep. I mean, he's a problem to deal with on defense. He's the best shot blocker in the league. He's very agile. It's not like he's, you know, someone who's just going to be stuck in the post.
He can hedge that pick and roll.
Yeah.
At 7'2".
Yeah. Yeah.
And even if you could have either him or Favors hedge that pick and roll out high and not give up anything in rim protection. Mm-hmm. You know, Gobert blocked 2.3 shots a game last year in 26 minutes. Mm-hmm. Derek Favors was close to 2 as well.
Yeah.
That's really strong.
Yeah.
It's rare to have one guy block 2 shots a game. To have 2 of them start.
I mean, this team, I think the closest analog to it from recent NBA history is that I think that they're a lot like the Pacers team that was able to give
Absolutely.
Miami a lot of trouble.
But with
for
a coach
years.
And Quinn Snyder that likes to shoot more threes.
Yeah, yeah. But they've got, you know, even though, and Gobert is a better defensive center for the modern NBA than Hibbert was, but
right.
it's easy to forget how dominant
he invented
was
verticality.
At yeah. And I, you know, you already made the comparison between Paul George and Gordon Hayward, and I don't think it's a crazy one. Favors, you had mentioned David West as well. Mm-hmm. I mean, we just inadvertently we've come on some of these. The other difference, I think, is the idea that Trey Burke, like George Hill, is not going to be the primary ball handler.
Absolutely.
So, you know, you can kind of see how this team comes together in that same mold. Now, the reason that ultimately I am worried about them getting that eighth seed, I think they're right in the mix.
Mm-hmm.
I do think that they have as good a chance as everyone.
And I think this is the team that a lot of the smarter NBA fans root for to make the eight.
Yeah, because it's fun, it's different, it's a new team in the playoffs, the young players to root for.
And the Gobert element makes it at least tougher for a Golden State San Antonio type of team.
Yeah.
This is an obstacle. They're a problem.
Yeah. But of the teams that are in that mix, this team has by far the weakest backcourt. And
easily.
I think that that's going to be ultimately the biggest limitation that they have, because even when you have good big guys, you know, if you can't get the ball across half court, if you can't, you know, go into your offense, then you're just going to have trouble. So
where are they getting the points?
Yeah.
I mean, if Hayward gets you 20... Mm-hmm. Favors get you 15. Gobert gets you 8 to 10 garbage points. Burks gets you 15 inefficient points.
Mm-hmm.
And you get 10 from your point guards. I mean, that's, you know, that's you're kind of in that Memphis zone where you have to strangle out a lot of 90-88 kind of games.
Yeah.
I think they're a problem in the regular season because Utah is not a fun place to play.
Mm.
And I think that they play, you know, they're so tough interior defensively that game to game, I think they're going to be kind of a hassle.
Yeah.
Just, I want one more guy to be able to score.
Yeah.
And they might have it in Rodney Hood.
Mm.
I like Rodney Hood. Mm. And he was the guy in summer league. I mean, you know, what's summer league? You know, but he made such a jump. And there are guys that make that jump and it sustains.
Yeah.
He's a 6'8", rangy, ball handling, shooting. I mean, he does a lot of things that they really need. Is it enough for them to score consistently enough to really hang around where they need to hang around?
Yeah.
I hope it is, because I think this is a fun team.
Yeah.
I like watching them.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And again, there's nobody quite like them.
Yeah.
But when you have to score, I think you have to score 100 a night just to be in the mix.
Yeah.
You have to have that. You have to be able to play with some pace and be able to play with some space. I'm having a rough time seeing the points.
Mm-hmm.
Is Trey Lyles going to play for him? I mean, they see him as the stretch four. I don't think he's going to play. Trevor Booker's a nice player. Mm-hmm. They got a lot of nice players, but I don't know where they have that guy that can go score.
And I don't think that they have the depth to be able to handle an injury to another one of
no.
their key guys.
No, they can't.
You know,
if any one of the, if either Hayward, Favors, or Gobert misses a significant amount of time, that's we're looking in the mid-30s.
Yeah. Yeah. So I like this team to win 42 to 44 games.
Right with the Suns, right with the Kings, right with all these teams.
And it's going to be bunched and it's going to, you know, come down to...
Attrition.
Attrition, yeah. Who's healthy and, you know, there's going to be... it's going to be a competitive race. Of those teams, though, that we mentioned, Utah is the one that I think would be able to be most competitive in an 8-1 series.
No question.
Just because of the challenge presented by their defense and, you know, the uniqueness of their style. So I, for that reason alone, I hope that they make that 8-1.
And I like them in a landslide over the next 5 years among those teams. They're the best setup to be what Portland was or what Memphis is and is fit. You know, they're the most likely to edge into that territory.
Yep.
We go to the Washington Wizards, the last team alphabetically. And now that Scott Brooks is gone, I think this is the team that is most held back by their coach. If they had a real guy in there instead of Randy Whitman, I like him for the two seed. But they have Randy Whitman.
Yeah.
So where do you got him?
I think that this team takes a slight step back this year. You know, last year this was a 46-win team, and maybe they're still in that same range. The difference is there was actually a not insane path for them to make the finals last year.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, with the injuries that were decimating everybody else and what they kind of stumbled upon with the Paul Pierce at the four lineup.
How they should have been playing the whole time.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, it's how they should have been playing the whole time.
Although, you know, this is the one area where, in defense of Randy Whitman, his explanation is he always knew he wanted to do that in the playoffs, but he didn't think that Paul Pierce would be able to hold up over the course of the season.
You don't do it for 48 minutes.
Right.
You sprinkle it in.
Yeah.
You know.
It's your crunch time lineup.
Yes.
I agree. I think he kind of accidentally stumbled upon it.
Yeah, and for him to try to be like, oh, I knew it would work.
Right.
Come on.
Right.
Give me a break.
But, you know, I don't think that they were able to, you know, replace what he brought last year, not just in terms of production, but that swagger and leadership. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think that Jared Dudley was a smart replacement signing, but
he's a better shooter from three.
Yeah.
And he was nice for Milwaukee last year.
Mm-hmm.
But the reason why the Clippers had to attach a first round pick to get rid of him, which, what a bad trade that was.
Yeah.
But he was unable to stay healthy, and he's already entering this season coming up. Is it back surgery? It's something pretty serious.
He had back surgery in July. Yeah,
and they need him.
Yeah,
like they it's crazy to say it, but Jared Dudley is the difference about whether this is a one round and out or whether this is a real conference finals kind of run.
Yeah, and you know, and the other guy in that same spot is Otto Porter Jr., who in the playoffs also started to show some flashes.
I kind of love Otto Porter this year. Yeah. I kind of think this is a nice big year for him, and I think that getting that little taste of getting his confidence is really what he needed, because he spent that whole rookie year hurt and then just could never quite get a rhythm. And it's tough for a young kid to come into a team that's competing for play. I mean, every game mattered for them.
Yeah.
And he didn't have any kind of chance to stumble and screw up and fight.
Sure.
But then he found it in the playoffs, and I think that's a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is going to be a kind of a nice step-up year for him.
Yeah.
And he's the guy that is going to be the difference between the two or the five seed.
I think that that's fair to say. And it's also, he's so important in their long-term development as well.
100%.
Because if he's the third piece of their, you know, long-term core, then this is a team that we can be talking about as a contender in the East for another 5 or 6 years.
They need him to be a player, because they're the long-term goal here. We don't need to beat around the bush. It's getting Kevin Durant here.
Yeah.
That's what they want.
Yeah.
If Otto Porter is a real piece that they can include in a sign-in trade, and it softens the blow for whatever, you know, because if Kevin Durant leaves, that's it for that franchise. But if they're able to soften the blow with, hey, we'll give you Otto Porter. Yeah, okay. Anybody on this roster outside a wall, basically. Yeah, you know, that's a big deal.
To get that extra year for a guy who's had injury problems, to get the extra year of that deal, it would turn into an extra $30 million, I guess, something like that.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah, and he's somebody who's a versatile player. You can do different things with him. He's an emerging shooter. The concern that I have, though, is that you're relying heavily on Nene and Gortat, who, you know, Nene took a step back last year.
Can't play them at the same time anymore.
Yeah.
It's one of those deals. You have to play one or the other with a stretch four.
Yeah.
And Chris Humphreys ain't that.
No.
He's the same as those two.
Yeah.
You know, he's another banger inside that gets his rebounds and plays close to the hoop.
Yep.
I mean, is Drew Gooden? I mean, Drew, that's what they did with Drew Gooden last year.
Yeah.
I mean, it's kind of a stretch five, weirdly effective, Drew Gooden-y kind of play. I don't like what they have at the four and the five. I don't like how they fit.
Yeah, and I think you'll see a lot of Jared Dudley at the four because of that.
And probably Porter, too.
Yeah, and I like that look. But, you know, I just don't really see, when you look up and down the roster, how this team is appreciably better than last year, bringing back the same coach. I mean, John Wall is great.
Well, that's what you look at. You think it's John Wall.
Yeah.
I think he's the second best player in the East. I think that had he been healthy in that Atlanta series, they win that series. And I don't think any team suffered a more devastating injury than what happened to his hand. He's unbelievable. He's so good. He's so fast. I mean, he's enormous. He's so good at finding those shooters in the corner. There's like weird spots where he's uniquely gifted at getting the ball to. I think him and Beal have nice chemistry when Bradley Beal's able to stay healthy. I mean, that's why you would pick him for the two, because you think John Wall is the best guy that's not LeBron.
Yeah.
It's still Randy Whitman, and I'm still not enjoying the Nene-Gortat combo starting and sometimes finishing games. Ultimately, though, I mean, can we see a situation where they make a deal? Can we see a situation where they decide they just play small more and it's Wall, Beal, maybe Allen Anderson, maybe Gary Neal's out there.
Yeah.
Maybe they do that weird double pick and roll thing with Wall and Ramon Sessions just kind of running pick and roll nonstop.
Yeah.
I mean, I want to like them more than I do, and I wish they would have taken somebody other than Kelly Oubre, because I don't think Kelly Oubre fits in to any plan now or later.
Yeah.
He's too young. He's too raw. I just don't think that moves the needle. This felt like a Frank Kaminsky team.
Interesting.
You know, if Michael Jordan wasn't so hell-bent on making sure that the Hornets got him, if they could have just had, like, a grown-up that can stretch the floor and make sense. I mean, you're getting destroyed defensively, but if you're able to kind of give Wall another shooter and another guy that knows what he's doing out there, then I kind of like it. But, you know, ultimately, I think they're kind of what they were, which was almost going up against a beat-up Cleveland team. You know, it's John Wall healthy, John Wall not healthy.
Yeah. I just think the rest of the East is better, though.
Maybe a little bit.
They stayed the same, and I think the rest of the East is better, and that's why...
And they didn't get rid of Andy Whitman.
Yeah, and that's why I think that, on balance, they are, relative to the rest of the pack, they've taken a slight step back. And it's important to note, you know, we haven't talked about Bradley Beal at length. We've alluded to him a couple times. Bradley Beal has a reputation for being one of the best young two guards in the league.
Like Klay Thompson, East.
Yeah. Well, he has not really had the production to back that up so far. He was good in the playoffs, but he's never had a PER that's above league average. He's somebody who has a very questionable shot selection, to say the least. Really loves kind of the mid-range shot. Has not been able to stay healthy. Is not somebody who is a particularly noteworthy defender. So I think we kind of need to see something from Bradley Beal. This is his fourth season. If he continues to be right around league average in production, then it's time to maybe stop thinking that he's going to turn into Ray Allen the way that people keep expecting.
And how much of it is because he plays beside John Wall?
Yeah.
I mean, that's the best.
It's easy to play next to John Wall.
That's the best point guard to play with for him.
Yeah.
And he's still kind of, you know.
Yeah.
So... I mean, when you have John Wall, you're in the mix.
Yep.
And that's where they are.
Yeah,
and
in the mix.
It's all about the chatter all season long is going to be KD to DC. And if they are able to turn a corner and make this a viable destination for him, then it's interest. Then we can talk about it.
Yeah.
And they're going to chat about it all year long. That's just the way it is.
Yeah.
But for this year, I think it's about the same. That's how we end our preview on a shrug shoulder Washington Wizards. But we're going to get into some awards. I want to start with Rookie of the Year. Who's winning Rookie of the Year, Matt?
You know, Rookie of the Year, I think that for this one, I am going to give a slight nod to, I think that Okafor will probably have good counting stats, but I do think that there's going to be a resistance to voting for anybody on the Sixers.
It's just going to be so bad.
Yeah, and I think that there's just among NBA writers that there are a lot of folks who just feel like what they're doing is straight out immoral.
Yeah.
And
there's already cracks in the process.
We didn't talk about all the Embiid stuff that came out this week. But
so good.
Yeah, good and sad.
Yeah, a real bummer.
But in any event, I don't think that it'll be Okafor. I think that D'Angelo Russell is right there in the mix because he's someone who will be on a high-profile team and should be able to score points.
And he's going to be very popular on Vine and Twitter.
Yeah, but you know what? Even though it's not the sexy pick, I'm going to go with Karl-Anthony Towns because he's clearly the best player in the class. He's going to have all the opportunity in the world. Mm-hmm. And I think that people are going to, you know, watch the Timberwolves and be excited about them, at least, you know, within NBA writers, because they've got this promising core and they've got Wiggins. And you know, I think that the combination of having a team that's kind of fun and on the upswing, and also the fact that he is so clearly the best player in this class right now, I'm going with Towns.
I'm going Emmanuel Mudiay. Because I think this is an award for opportunity.
Yeah.
And if the Nuggets win a little bit more than people expect, they're going to point to Mudiay and coming in for Ty Lawson. And I think he's going to have the same kind of D'Angelo Russell Vine Twitter following.
Yeah.
And I think this recently has gone to guards.
Yeah,
the last big man to win the award was Blake Griffin.
Mm-hmm.
It's been Kyrie. It's been Damian Lillard. It's been Michael Carter-Williams. And what is going to be the worst year for rookies in a long time. Then last year was Wiggins.
Yeah.
But it's ultimately somebody that has the opportunity to pile up a lot of counting stats on a team that's maybe not that good.
Yeah.
I think Mudiay and Russell are kind of in that mold.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're looking for a long shot, Mario Hezonja is going to be fun.
Yeah.
I think he's going to dominate social media all year. While Scott Skiles might never play him.
Yeah.
That's ultimately why I wouldn't bet it. But now we got Coach of the Year. And this is a nonsense award because it's Greg Popovich. But we have to pick we have to pick a guy.
Yeah.
And the way they always do this is success relative to expectation.
Yeah. Now, I actually think, though, that this year Pop will win. Not just because he's the best, but also I think that, you know, if let's say that they're the number one seed in the West, which is totally plausible.
Mm-hmm.
I think that the narrative is not only is this maybe the last run of the Duncan Popovich duo, so there's some sentimental vote, but also the challenge of integrating Aldridge. I mean, he's a great player, and it's maybe easier to integrate a great player than a bad player.
Yep.
But still, he's somebody who has, you know, had some issues with fit in Portland and didn't end things on the best of terms there. And I think there are some people who are skeptical that they're going to be able to get as much out of him as I think they'll be able to.
Mm-hmm.
So the narrative is this is a 60-win team. They're the best team in the West. It's the nostalgic, you know, one last good time vote for Pop. And, oh, by the way, he was able to successfully fit this other superstar piece in as a complimentary player and transition to the new era. So I'm going Pop here.
I like it because he should win.
Yeah.
I think that the team that might have the most success relative to expectation, Brad Stevens and the Boston Celtics.
Mm.
Let's say they crack the top four.
Mm-hmm.
It could.
Yeah.
And everyone loves him.
Yeah.
He should have a Coach of the Year award at some point, and it might be this year. Let's say they play completely over their heads and they end up with a 3 seed. Not impossible, given the way he's able to manage minutes and juggle weird lineups.
Yeah.
I think that's a pretty safe bet that at least he finishes top three.
Yeah.
I think another guy that has a chance to exceed a lot of expectations is Mike Malone because he's stepping in the shoes for Brian Shaw, who was a disaster last year.
Mm.
So I think the Nuggets might take home some preseason awards despite winning 35 games.
Yeah. The one other guy I'd throw out there is Alvin Gentry.
Oh, yes.
Just because I think that the Pelicans are, you know, they'll take a step up, but it'll be more of an aesthetic one. Yeah. So maybe they go from 45 to 51, 52 wins, but are also just a more fun team. And they'll have a lot of eyes on them from Davis. So he's a dark horse, too.
MVP.
MVP, you know...
It's LeBron, but it won't be him.
Yeah, and I think that they will be conscious of monitoring his minutes. You know, we're already hearing some things about the back, which is a little scary. But
the 2-week sabbatical, I think he should take every year, like Chris Paul does.
Yeah, exactly. I don't think that it's going to be Steph Curry again.
It's hard to repeat, and it's hard to have a better year than he had last year.
Exactly. I think that Harden is in the mix.
Yep.
But I do think it'll be Anthony Davis. I think that just his numbers are going to be eye popping. I think that they're going to win enough to be credibly in that conversation. I think you really have to crack at least 50 wins
mm-hmm.
to be considered there. I think they will. And I just think that he is going to have just such astronomical stats that they can't ignore it. And I think there's also a recent history of wanting to vote for the new guy and whoever is coming next, you know, voting for Derrick Rose, maybe a little before they should have. Mm-hmm. Steph was a deserved winner last year, but still.
It was a fun vote.
Yeah, it's a fun vote. And Anthony Davis is a fun vote.
He's winning it. Yeah. He's going to have the best season. He led the league in PER last year. He could have won it last year.
Yeah.
They were the eighth seed. You know, traditional writers don't tend to pick the guys on the kind of teams.
Yeah.
I think they're going to be really good, and I think Davis is going to somehow be better, and he's just going to be the clear pick.
Mm-hmm.
I think he wins, and I think he wins kind of going away.
Yeah.
Title.
I think it's the Spurs. I think that the and it's a sentimental vote in some ways, because I think the Warriors are the safest bet, just because why wouldn't you pick the Warriors?
Yeah,
nothing's
good.
Changed.
They're really good.
Yeah. But I would like to see, of the elite teams in the league, I would like to see one more for Duncan. I'd like to see one more for Pop. And then let all these guys, let Pop, let Duncan, let Manu, let Tony Parker kind of ride off into the sunset. And then we get a fun, interesting new era of Spurs ball. So I think Spurs.
I've got Oklahoma City winning. I'm already on record with it. I mean, I'm only picking it because I think they stay healthy. That's ultimately the deciding factor. And I think they somehow survive this unbelievable set of expectations and the amount of pressure they put on themselves, if only because I don't think a team plays angrier than they do all year. And I think them winning is the best story.
Mm-hmm.
That's the best thing for the league. Like how last year the Warriors winning was actually the best thing for the league.
Yeah.
And you know, LeBron and the Cavs making it to the finals but not getting there was good for the league storyline-wise, like WWE-wise.
Sure.
I think that if Oklahoma City were to win, that means those guys stay together.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have KD in DC, we don't have Rusko, and then we don't have another disaster lottery team in Oklahoma City.
Yeah.
It's good for the league, it's good for the sport, and I'm sticking with it, even though I might change my pick in 2 weeks. Because he might break his foot.
Yeah.
But that's going to do it for our NBA preview. I think we're at the we're at time here. We have somebody
we're
coming
time.
In after us. So stick around. Come back next week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks. We haven't decided yet.
Yeah, 2 weeks from now. We're taking a week off. You can catch up on all the old ones. But
yeah, we have a lot of NBA content for you here. Yeah. I can't wait. And we're going to keep doing this until someone tells us not to.